For coming this morning. I know we're a little bit earlier than normal, but it's Resurrection Day. What a great day God has given us today. And beautiful weather out there. Couldn't ask for any better than that, could we? My goodness. As you turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 1 this morning, we'll continue in our Sunday school lesson there from the Genesis. And the Bible says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Lord, I want to thank you once again, dear God, as I come humbly before you, Father, before the throne of grace this morning. Dear Lord, knowing that we have an intercessor, the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, I want to thank you for a time that we can come together. But dear Lord, most of all, a time that we can come together to honor, to reflect about the time, and we'll do that at the next hour upon the Resurrection Day. Father, what a great day that was. And Father, what a great time it is to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, help us now to glean from your precious word this morning in Sunday school exactly what you would have us to glean. Help us, Lord, and penetrate our heart with the word of God. Father, we thank you, we love you, we praise your holy name. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I won't recap everything we've already went through in the last couple of weeks, but I will pick up just right here where we stopped at last week, and I began covering it. I told you that Satan, Lucifer, well, when did Lucifer fall? That was the question we had last week. When was his fall? When did he fall from being the beautiful angel, the beautiful cherub, excuse me, that God had created? And so forth. You can't find it in the 6 days of creation. The seventh day God rested. You won't find it in Genesis chapter 2, but in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. That's when he raises his ugly head as the serpent right there to tempt Adam and Eve. Let me say this as just to get started out on, that as we get in more into this lesson here, I'm going to show you in the book of Ezekiel. We did not get there last week. I did show you in the book of Isaiah chapter 14. Let's just turn right over there, Isaiah chapter 14. But I want to say this, that as we get into Ezekiel, you will find that this cherub, his name's Lucifer, and how God created him and what he looked like. And he held, if you will, the title deed of earth after Genesis verse 1, between it and verse 2. And he fell. God stripped him of that title. He judged sin and rebellion that Lucifer had come up against God with. Then God created Adam and Eve, and he turned the title over to Adam. Adam had the title deed to the planet earth. When God told him to subdue the earth, that was the title deed that God gave to him. And Satan was upset about that thing. So in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, you have him coming as a serpent to tempt Eve, to tempt Adam, cause them to sin. And when they sinned and rebelled against God, just as he had done in Isaiah chapter 14, between Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 and verse 2, then Adam surrendered the title deed to planet earth over to back to Satan. Satan has had that title deed all the way through up to this very present time. You say, oh, he doesn't. Yes, he does. Look what 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you will. We'll go over there to Isaiah 14 just in a moment. But Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, let's just start right there. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world. Now who is that lowercase g God of this world? Exactly. It's the devil. It's Satan himself, the fallen one. It's not Muhammad. It's not Buddha, although they claim to be gods and people worship them as gods. But they're just false gods branched off from Satan and so forth. In whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them, notice, which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Well, that means he still has the title deed. He's the god of this world. God just proclaimed that in his very word. Now, he'll be stripped of that title one day. Absolutely. The Lord Jesus Christ himself will strip that from Satan. And one day Satan will finally hit his demise over there in Revelation chapter 20, where the Lord Jesus Christ will cast him into the lake of fire forever and forever. And you know who the title deed of this world will be then? The Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, he'll burn this earth up. He flooded it twice because of judgment and rebellion. He'll burn it the third time, you see. He'll burn it up and create a new earth. All right. Isaiah chapter 14. Let's start over there at verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? When did that happen? Did that happen in Noah's day? No. Did it happen in Adam's day? No. For thou hast said in thine heart, this is the sin that Lucifer committed against God Almighty. Being mindful that Satan, Lucifer, was in charge of the music and worship going up from earth to heaven. From Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 2. He was in charge of that. And I'll show you in Ezekiel in just a moment about that. But he wanted the praise. He wanted the glory. Lucifer did. And here's what he says. And he said, notice what I read, verse 13. He said, I, five times. Five times. In your Bible, most of the time, five means death. I'm show that to you. Go to Genesis chapter 5 real quick. Just turn right over there. Keep your finger at Isaiah. We're going back over there. I know I'm jumping around a little bit, but I got a lot to cover. Short time to cover it. Genesis chapter 5, verse 5. Now, isn't that amazing about your King James Bible? God just happened to line that thing up where he's going to say these words right here in chapter 5 and verse 5. Let's read it. And the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and what happened? He died. Five is your number of death most of the time in your Bible. Five is the number of death. Yeah. And Satan, Lucifer, brought that into being whenever over there in Isaiah when he said five times, I. But you know, that's just amazing how your Bible's lined up even with the numbers, isn't it? Amen. So Isaiah chapter 14 back over there, see what Satan said in verse 13. For thou hast said in thine heart, God is saying that to him. And about him. Lucifer is going to say right here, I will ascend into heaven. Now, ascend means what? Go up. That's what the word means. Going up from one place, from this place to another. So that means he had to be down below heaven, the third heaven where God is at. We settled that last week. So he says, I'm going to ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. So that shows you Lucifer had a throne here on this earth. Had a kingdom that God had given him. But that wasn't good enough for him. He says, no, I'm going to exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. Boy, he's going up in the sides of the north. Which direction is heaven? The Bible tells you. It's north. Isn't it amazing that all your magnetic needles point northward? Brother Terry and I was talking, I believe it was last week, when you set up something that's running on metal and stuff like that, like a circle saw, for instance, at a sawmill. You have to set that thing up where it's headed north. You turn that sawmill around and try to saw and it's headed south, it will not stand up and run. It's amazing. I learned that whenever I was 18 years old when I set up the first sawmill, helped a man set it up. It's vitally important. You get it true north, you see. Well, that's the direction of heaven. Well, let's see what else Lucifer said here. He says in verse 14, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Where's the clouds at, may I ask? It's in the sky. But he says, I'm going to ascend above that. Then he's going to send them on up to heaven, you see. He's going to ascend. That shows you he was here on this earth. I will be like the Most High. In other words, he says, I'm going to be God. I'm going to take the place of God. Well, notice what right there in verse 15. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell. That's what God said. To the sides of the pit. Now, why was hell created? For the devil and his fallen and the fallen angels. Absolutely. It wasn't created for you and I. It was created before Adam and Eve was created. Well, verse 16, God goes on to say, they that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble and did shake kingdoms? You know what God's reckoning, comparing him to? He says, you want to be God? You think you have power to take over my throne, to take over heaven? You're going to be as a man. And what he's saying is, you are weak. You are helpless. You are not going to take control of heaven, for I am God. That's what he's saying. That's what he's establishing. Now, let's turn over there. And 2 Peter one time. 2 Peter, before we go to Ezekiel. Now, some people say, well, there's only been one flood, and that was at Noah's time. Well, if there's only been one judgment, my friend, of the earth, and if that was the odd first one, and the second one is absolutely going to be, the earth is going to be burned up with fire, that means there'll be only two. And I've taught on those numbers, especially at number 3 about 3 weeks ago. And 3 is God's sublime number. God uses 3s a great deal in the Bible. So there'll be 3 judgments of this earth. There's already been 2. There will be 1 more of total annihilation of it. All right. 2 Peter, if you will, chapter 3. This is where most Bible teachers get messed up on this thing. And they go by what a Bible scholar or somebody that's got a big name and a lot of letters behind their name, they get thrown off track because that's what that guy is taught, you know, them to in their class and so forth, saying this is Noah's flood. Well, let's look at this thing. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they... Now notice what God says. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. That's your Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, the earth standing out of the water, God created it, and then it was standing in the water. That's what happened in verse 2, judgment on Lucifer for rebelling against God Almighty. There it is. Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So, I firmly believe that God had to flood this earth when Lucifer began to make his statements in his heart, and he began to tell these angels and try to convince them, follow me. We'll go to war against God. We'll kick God out of heaven, out of third heaven, and we will be in control. He said, I'll be like God, like the Most High. And one third, I do believe the Bible teaches that, and there's your three again. One third followed after Lucifer. They believed his lie. They believed his deception. And they followed him. And that's where you get these fallen angels. That's where you get these fallen sons of God that you'll be able to see in Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6 talks about the sons of God seeing that the daughters of men were fair, and they took them as wives. And then they had offspring from that. And that's where you get your giants and all this messed up DNA mess, you see. That's where that came about. No, it's sons of God, there is not the godly line of Seth, like some Bible teachers teach. No, it's the ungodly line of Satan, of those fallen angels, trying to corrupt mankind, you see. And they're doing the same thing today. Same thing today. There's nothing new under the sun. Look at them, how they're messing with the DNA today. Yeah. We're messing with mankind's DNA again. Well, remember this. Jesus was asked by his disciples, what will be the sign of thy coming? One of the things he gave, and he gave others, it'd be as the days of Lot. Well, we see that with the homosexuality that's going on, that's so rampant across this world. I said the world. Yeah, how it's accepted and tolerated all around the world. And you and I that don't believe in it, and we're totally against it, and we agree that God, with God, when he says it's an abomination, and that's exactly what it is. But you see all these people, they look at us like, oh, you're a terrorist because you don't believe in homosexuality. You don't support it. Then you're a racist. You're bigoted. You see, you're intolerant. Let them say what they want to. They're saying it against God's holy book. Yeah. So anyway, we see that they're messing with DNA. They're messing with all this stuff. And Jesus said, it will be as the days of Noah. And all you got to do is look back there at Genesis chapter 6. And I teach a whole lesson on that. Genesis chapter 6. What was the days of Noah like? Well, you had the giants. You got mankind, their DNA has been messed with and corrupted. You see. And then there's twice God says, and there was violence in the earth. If we're not living in those last days, we ain't never seen it. The earth is full of violence. Everywhere you turn, you can't escape it. All right. Ezekiel chapter 28. I believe that the scriptures teach us how God brought judgment upon the earth. Right. In Ezekiel chapter 28, let's read about a fellow here. And you, as you reread, I want you to see if this pertains to a man, just a regular man like you and I. Ezekiel chapter 28. Says in verse 1, the word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God. Now remember what we read back there in Isaiah 14 a while ago. Look what verse 2 says. Because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God. Is that not what Lucifer said back there in Isaiah chapter 14? So we're not talking about a man named Tyrus. We're still talking about the same one, just a different name that God applies to him. And he calls him a prince right here. And in just a few minutes, few more verses, you can see where he calls him a king. He says in verse 2, I am a god. I sit in the seat of God. So he's got his own throne, don't he? In the midst of the seas. Yet thou art a man, God said, and not God. There's your same wording that you had in Isaiah chapter 14. Though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Verse 3, behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. Oh yeah, Lucifer's wise. Yeah, he's much wiser than you and I. And he's full of deception and lies. He is the great deceiver. Now, verse 4. With thy wisdom, with thy understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches. When did Lucifer do that? Surely it wasn't during Noah's time. It wasn't during Adam and Eve. No, it was between Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. When he ruled on this earth, had the title deed. Thou hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures by thy great wisdom and by thy traffic. So it must have been somebody here that he could traffic them. I ain't saying it was human beings. Adam was made in God's image. Okay? But some type of creature may have been the sons of God he's talking about here. Thou hast increased thy riches, and thy heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore I will bring strangers upon thee, and terrible of the nations. They shall draw these swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and thou shalt defile, and they shall defile thy brightness. So we see that this creature is wise, this creature is beautiful, and this creature is bright. Is Lucifer not called the son of the morning there in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12? Maybe Lucifer means the light bearer. He's bright. That's what he was supposed to be when he was right with God. But let's see. Verse 9, Wilt thou yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am God? But thou shalt be a man and no God in the hand of him that slayeth thee. Let's read down there in verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus. Talking about the same individual. He's called a prince up there in verse 2, but now then he's called a king. Well, is not Satan over there in Ephesians chapter 6 called the prince of the air? But what is he called in Revelation? Apollyon, etc. King. They had a king. Hell, the pit had a king over them. Abaddon. Yes, indeed. There you go. That's what you're talking about right there. Son of man, take up a lamentation, verse 12, upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. God's going to give you a description of this creature that he had created. He had created him perfect and in beauty, and he was a light to be a light bearer unto God, but he sinned against God. Look at verse 13. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone. And see this cat, he don't look like a human being. Not that you and I could ever imagine. See, he's built and created differently. He's got this covering, if you will, for his skin. And it consists of precious stone was that covering, the sardis. Can you imagine his body being made of these things I'm fixing to read? The beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and thy pipes were prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. So he's a created being. God created him. And God created him special, and he created him beautiful. And he just, I can just imagine the brightness of him with all this gold and the diamonds and the beryl, etc. And God didn't just stop there. He created in him pipes, tabrets, musical instruments that would flow out of his body. You and I got a pipe in us, don't we? Called a windpipe, isn't it? Huh? See that thing? And we sing because we have a windpipe, don't we? Mm-hmm. But see, this one was much more enhanced because he is supposed to sing and glorify God and bring up praise from the earth unto God the Father in heaven. But he didn't like that job. Lucifer didn't. That wasn't satisfying enough to him. That's the reason why he lifted up his heart against God. Now, notice verse 14. God gives you an even further description of this character. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Guess where that was at? That holy mountain of God was on earth when God created in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And this creature right here is a cherub. You know what a cherub is? Ezekiel chapter 1 describes it. Revelation also describes it. Revelation. All right, these four beasts in Revelation, and they came in verse chapter 5. And verse 7, they came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when they had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down. These four beasts are cherubs, whenever you look into the Word of God. And then it tells that down in verse 14, that these four beasts said, Amen, you see. And these four beasts right here is found over here in Ezekiel as well. Ezekiel chapter 1, turn with me there. Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1. I've had to skip just a few of my notes here because we don't have, for the sake of time here. Let's hold on 1 second. All right. Alrighty. Now he's at Chebar, by the river Chebar, Ezekiel is. And God showed him something. That's for us, pick up in verse 2. In the fifth day of the month, which was the 50th year, king of Jehoiachin, captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel, the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar, and the land of the Lord, the hand of the Lord was there upon him. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north. There's that north again. Come down from heaven. This whirlwind did. Okay? A great cloud and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof was as the color of amber out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Notice that. And everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings. And their feet were straight feet, and their sole of their feet was like the sole of the cast foot. And they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. You know what Satan is called by some people? Slew foot. And the reason for that is because he has this calf's foot, you see. Because he was a cherub. These four beasts right here are cherubs. Now, their wings were joined one to another. They turned out when they went, and they went everyone straight forward. And as the white likeness of their faces, now he's going to describe them, they four, all four of them, had the face of a man. Now each one of them had the face of a lion, And on the right side, the four had the face of an ox on the left side, and they four also had the face of an eagle. Now, what you have there is a representation of what's on earth. Man, the fowls, the eagle represented that. The face of the lion, that's your face of the untamed wild beast. And then the face of the ox is your domesticated animals. Now, may I ask you a question? What species is missing, is not represented there? Out of those four. The fish. Yeah. Fish. Fish and reptiles. Fish and reptiles. Now, isn't it amazing that Lucifer shows up in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 as a serpent? Over there in Job, God describes him to Job as a Leviathan. And you know what your Bible corruptors say about that? They say that that was a dinosaur that lived in the sea or in the water. Or it's a great big whale. Some of the false versions even call it a rhinoceros or a hippopotamus. Job, God calls him, in the book of Job, calls him Leviathan. And he said, if you put a hook in his mouth, can you draw him out? His tail is like a cedar and all this stuff. And like I said, I don't have time to go into all that. But you've got a representation that's missing in these four cherubs. And that's of your fish and your reptiles. So how many cherubs was created? You got four right there. And they're still following God and worshiping God, even in the book of Revelation. I didn't have time to read all the description of them in there, but you got the same description. There was five of them created. Ezekiel chapter 28 tells you, thou art the anointed cherub that was created. So that fifth one, again, there's that number five, death. You see, Satan is a representation of that. And he's the one that brings forth death, is he not? Death also has five letters in it. Well, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have set thee so. Thou wast in the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of the fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, comma. Look what it says. Till iniquity was found in thee. Sin, transgression, rebellion against God Almighty. Just like it says in Isaiah chapter 14, he explains to you. This creature, this fifth cherub, he's a cherub. Verse 14 says he is. And then it tells you also that God describes him and says, thou wast perfect in thy ways. Did God mess him up? Did God deform him? No, he did it to himself because he rejected the words of God. He rejected God himself and said he's going to be his God. And you know, just as perfect in beauty as Lucifer was when God created him, he is perfectly ugly now. Yeah, that's just why God says they narrowly look upon thee. Is this the man? Sin is an ugly thing. And Satan is the absolute portrait of it. By the multitude, verse 16, of thy merchandise. Remember reading over there in Isaiah a while ago? In the first part of Ezekiel here, of 28? Well, by the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. Look at that thing. And thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, and they may behold that they may behold thee. Now look over there in chapter 29 real quickly as we close here for today. Verse 2, Son of man, set thy face against Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and prophesy against him and against all Egypt. Speak and say, thus saith the Lord God. Now you tell me if this is just an ordinary creature we're fixing to describe. Behold, I am against thee. God says, I'm against thee, Pharaoh, king of Egypt. The great dragon that lieth in the midst of the rivers. Is he talking about a man, Pharaoh? No. Look at that thing, dragon. The great dragon that lieth in the midst of the rivers, which hath said, my river is mine own. I have made it for myself. But I will put hooks in thy jaws, and will cause the fish of thy rivers to stick unto thy scales. I will bring thee up out of the midst of thy rivers, and all the fish of the river shall stick unto thy scales. I have those two words, scales, underlined in my Bible, because that gives you a description. See, he lost his beauty, Lucifer did, when he sinned against God. And God stripped him of that carbuncle, the burl, and all that stuff. Now he's got scales. And in closing, what is the sign that Christians have made, or a Christian organization has made for us to have? To put on our bumpers of our cars and all that, of a fish. Isn't that something? You think that's of God? Not at all. People will put that thing, that sign of that little fish, you know what I'm talking about. They'll put that thing on their bumper of their car, on their vehicle, but they will not put a verse of scripture on their vehicle. And that's kind of strange. I think that's kind of strange. See, that fifth cherub, he's still the god of this world. He has many names. Satan, the dragon, Leviathan. I could go on and on. One day his demise is coming. He don't like to hear that. And you know, most preachers are scared to even talk about it and teach it. But it must be taught because it's in the oracles of God, so that we'll have an understanding of our enemy. And that's the reason why I teach it. And it takes so long to go through that section of it, because I want you to know who your enemy is. How can you fight a good warfare without knowing who your enemy is? Every great general, and to me, General Robert E. Lee, studying behind him, was the greatest general that ever hit planet Earth. Second to him, I think, is General George S. Patton. To me, they're my heroes. Great geniuses of warfare. But you know how they was able to accomplish that and win the battles that they won? Because they studied who their enemy was. Yep. I ain't going out there. I ain't saying go out to worship Satan. No, no, no. I'm saying you study about how he's going to fight you. Put on the whole armor of God so that you can fight a good fight of faith, my friend. And that's where we fail so many times. How do we fall into sin? Because we do not put on the whole armor of God. And the whole armor of God is explained in Ephesians chapter 6 in a few verses. But the whole armor consists of this whole book from page 1 to the last page, from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation. That's the whole armor of God. And that armor, that word, is about Jesus Christ. And in Romans chapter 14, you have, it says, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you suited up to fight? Have you got your armor on? Let's be dismissed in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you, dear God, for this lesson today. Thank you, Father, for your precious word. Father, I love you, and I thank you for the whole armor of God. Gird us up, dear God, with truth, for thy word is truth. Father, we thank you, we love you, and we praise you. For we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.